So we'll, in Mirtz Hashem, we'll study the Rambam and Hilchus Tfilo with regard to Tfilos Nedava. But first, we'll take a little bit of a detour. And I want to talk to you about the Parsha of Arame Oved Avi, and specifically the aspect of that Parsha that touches on Tfilo. And you'll see a paragraph, if you're looking in the Chumash itself, that's in Dvarim Perek Chavav, and this is the parasha of Arame Ovid Ovi, take a look at Pasuk Vav. Do you see Pasuk Vav? And it says, Vayoreu osonu amitzrim vayaanunu. Vayitnu aleinu avoda kasha. And that's followed by Pasuk Zayin, Vanizakel Hashem Elokei Avoseinu.
Right.
So clearly, the Pasuk, the second Pasuk, namely Pasuk Zayin, Vanizakel Hashem Elokei Avoseinu, that Sa'aka could certainly be identified with what?
Tefillah.
With Tefillah, correct. And therefore, Vayishma Hashem Es Koleinu, we always say that God is a Shomea Kol Tefillah,
right.
And this would be an application.
Right.
So let's look at what the Baal Haggadah says on the Pasuk, Vanitzak El Hashem Elokei Avoseinu. Where is it here?
It's there.
Yeah, okay, we'll find it. Okay, so for some reason I'm not finding here it is. Okay, you found it. Good. Thank you, Michael. So he says the following: Vanitzak el Hashem Elokei Avoseinu, Kimoshen Nemar. And you know that the style of the Baal Haggadah is to relate these psukim of Arami Ovid Ovi back to the psukim in Sefer Shmos. Kimoshen Nemar Vayhi Bayomima Harabimahem Vayomas Melech Mitzrayim Vayeonchu Bnei Yisrael Menavoda Vayizaku. Vatal Shavasam El Elokim Min Havoda. The Pasuk Vanitzak El Hashem Elokei Avoseinu could be interpreted as Tza'ak of Tefillah. But if the Baal Haggadah connects that Pasuk with Vayionchu Bnei Yisrael, it doesn't sound like tefillah at all. Vayeonchu bnei Yisrael min avoda. What does that sound like?
They ceased from doing their work?
No, not they ceased. They were groaning from the work. The work got even heavier because...
It was a krechts, to Hashem.
A krechts, exactly.
But he's right, a krechts to Hashem.
Okay, so I don't know. It sounds like min avoda. In other words, it was a...
Vanitzak, they're crying.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like it was a natural, spontaneous or instinctual response. It's like, if you step on the foot of an animal, the animal let out a cry. It doesn't sound like it was prayer directed or prayer formulated. I don't think it had Gimel Rishonos and Gimel Achronos, with the Yud Gimel Emtsoyos. It's not a structured tefillah. It's Vayonchu Bnei Yisrael Men Avoda.
Can't say Avoda Hi Tefillah. Can't say Yisrael.
I don't think so. It says Min Avoda. No, it's as a result of the impact of the Avoda, Vayonchu. And then it says Vatal Shav Osam El Elokim Min Avoda. Once again. So what does Vatal mean? Does it mean it was directed towards Shamayim? Or was it just a response to the difficult oppression that they suffered, and somehow that response, in the form of, as you put it so well, a krecht, ascended on high? And the question I want to raise with you, I think, is a very fundamental one. We've been speaking a lot about tefillah, about prayer in the formal sense, where a person stands up and he's, tefillah rachmeninu, his supplications, they're all God-oriented. Is it possible that Almighty God creates the prayers, not man? I'll give you an example of what I have in mind. You remember the famous mashal that they tell over, it's mostly in Hasidic work, about the shepherd boy who couldn't pray and he took out his flute. You remember the story? And he asked Hashem to take the sounds of the flute and make and construct a tefillah out of it. He wasn't capable of prayer. He was totally ignorant. He had not studied. He had not learned. And the nimshal is the shofar, for example, of Rosh Hashanah. Now, we don't really know intellectually what the sound of the shofar, what the content of the sound of the shofar is. But somehow it ascends on high and it reaches perhaps the Kisei HaKavod, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu make something out of the kol shofar. Is it possible then that God, who's infinite and omnipotent, reads the mind of a person, knows his needs, and formulates the tefillah without man having to do so? I'll give you an example of what I have in mind. Take a look in Shmon Esrei, and we say the following.
Goes in.
Thanks. Re'eino v'anyenu. What do those three words mean? Re'eino v'anyenu.
Please see us and answer us.
No, but v'anyenu means our suffering. Oh. Inui, miloshen inui, our affliction.
That's close.
So we're saying, God, see our affliction. In a sense, what we're doing is, we are asking God to turn his attention to our affliction, our suffering.
Right.
Why is that a prayer? Not only is it a prayer,
no,
it's an opening of a prayer.
It's exactly the opening of the prayer.
Have mercy on us.
Exactly.
In other words, God, if you witness our suffering, what we call Imo Anochi Vitzara, you know, if God, if you are identifying with our afflictions, our oppression, that itself is a tefillah. Now, I want to point out something which might give us an insight to this concept of Vayi'anchu Bnei Yisrael Min Avoda Fatal Shavasa. There's a za'aka that's well thought out, that's deliberate, that's planned, that has a definite substance and meaning to it. It's a message going on high. And there's a different kind of za'aka. There's a za'aka that is spontaneous. It represents man's suffering. And perhaps that za'aka, the latter one, no less than the former one, is tefillah. When Bnei Yisrael were suffering in Mitzrayim for over 2 centuries, did they have the intellectual, what word can I use, the coolness of thought, you know, the deliberateness? Were they in the proper mindset that they could logically, intellectually form their prayers and formulate them in structured sentences, in paragraphs? I don't think so. Vatal shavasam means that somehow the shava, the cry of man, goes out to God, and God, out of a love for his people, hears the prayer, or almost makes it into a prayer. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, for example, says, Ein ben David ba ad she yisyashu min ha-geula. A very strange Gemara in Perek HaChelek. You know, Perek HaChelek is the last part of Sanhedrin, which deals with all these very esoteric agadatas. And this is certainly one of them. When is Ben David, when is the Mashiach going to come? When we are misyayish min ha-geula, we've already given up any hope for geula. The Jewish people of Mitzrayim got to the level, I call it the bottom boat, where they simply they couldn't even have the wherewithal, the clarity of thought to have aspirations and to believe that the redemption was going to come. But Chazal teaches us that at that point, when man ceases to pray for the geula, he has given up, That's when the Mashiach comes. That's when the Gula takes place. So perhaps in line with that Gemara, Chazal are telling us here that when you read this pasuk on the Leil HaSeder, Vayares Onyenu, Vayanunu, Vayares Onyenu. What's Vayares Onyenu? Maybe the words Vayares Onyenu here, take a look in pasuk Zion. Do you see the end of pasuk Zion? How does he translate it into the English? Vayares Onyenu. He saw our affliction. That's how I would translate it.
Zion?
Zion. At the end of pasuk Zion.
Hashem heard our voice and saw our affliction. Yeah.
Saw our affliction. He heard, he saw our affliction.
Right.
He saw our affliction means that itself, the affliction itself, becomes a tefillah. You talk about the Jews who were oppressed throughout Jewish history.
Right.
And not long ago. I don't know if they were capable in those situations of prayer in the formal sense. Maybe the great tzaddikim were. But your average rank and file fellow who was putting in, I don't know, 14 hours a day of backbreaking work in the labor camps, right, and being beaten by his taskmasters, Yimach Shemav, was he capable of davening? I don't know. But it was Vayares Onyenu. That even when the Jew gives up, Hashem doesn't give up.
Because that's his rachmanus. We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a father.
And
a father sees his children, suffering, and we hope that he's going to have rachmanus on us.
And that's, I think, what's happening in the Haggadah here. And this is an integral part of the night of Pesach that, I don't know, maybe for you it's a double push. To me this was an eye-opener. I think it adds a whole new dimension to our understanding of God listening to man. We think Vayishmas Kolenu as the classical Shomer Kol Tefila, which is one of the Yisodei Amunah. We believe with all our heart and with all our might that God hears our prayers. Our prayers are not wasted, they're not going out in vain. But maybe there's some stage even beyond prayer when man is incapable of prayer and God still hears our prayers. But what do you mean? Isn't that antithetical to say that we're beyond prayer but God hears our prayers? The answer is that God himself, as an infant being, he knows what our needs are.
Right.
And out of a sense of love for his people, he accepts the prayer without their having to pray.
Right.
See, for you gentlemen, it's hard to understand this concept because you are Litvax. I don't mean literally. I don't know if you are Litvax or not. But if you were trained in the Hasidic way of thinking, the more mystical way of thinking, where there's a concept called Kol Pashut, which means a voice that comes up on high that is totally simplistic. It almost belongs to the universe itself, and God hears those sounds and he accepts them. You would be a little bit more open, I think, to what I'm trying to say. In any event, I want to share with you a comment of Rabbeinu Bechai, and I think it's important that we talk about this Rabbeinu Bechai. Rabbeinu Bechai comments on the pasuk Vatal Shavosom El Helokim, which again is not, you don't see it here in front of you, but it's in the Haggadah, right? Because the Haggadah says Kamo Shenemar.
From Shema.
Yeah. Right, Kamo Shenemar Vatal Shavosom El Helokim in Avodah. Says Rabbeinu Bechai, listen carefully. He says the Efshal Lomar ki haparsha he remez legulasenu ha'asida, the future gula. It's interesting, there's a remez here to the future, the ultimate redemption. She tluya b'tshuva u'b'tfila, we will not experience the ultimate redemption, says Rabbeinu Bechai, without repentance and prayer. Ki chen b'geulas Mitzrayim chazu b'tshuva. Unbelievable. He, Rabbeinu Bechai, claims that Bnei Yisrael, right before the redemption, underwent a process of tshuva. This is exactly antithetical to what I was trying to present to you. I was trying to claim that, on the contrary, they were so broken physically and emotionally that they couldn't possibly go through any sort of logical, intellectual, step-by-step process. But he's saying there was tshuva. But let me ask you a question. To defend Rabbeinu Bechai, what would he say when at Yam Suf, a full week later, the Malachi Ashari said, Elu Avodei Avodah Zarah, Halalu Avodei Avodah, Halalu Avodei Avodah Zarah. They came up on high with a claim that even Bnei Yisrael have reached the 49th level of Tumah. So my question to you tonight is, where's the tshuva that Rabbeinu Bechai is talking about? Bishlam, according to our pshat, it was Vatal Shavasam.
Right.
It was just a metaphysical kind of tefillah, you know, a magical tefillah that God structured, the Almighty Being structured. But according to him, there was a process of tefillah in the formal sense with tshuva. And the question is, where do you see that? And I have only one answer. If you have a better answer, please tell me. Chazal say that on the 10th of Nisan, Bnei Yisrael, when they were given the command to set aside what?
The little
shepsel or the lamb for Karban Pesach, it was a very dangerous operation, because did you know that the Egyptians worshipped the lamb? You knew that.
Yes, we did.
So taking the lamb in front of the Egyptians, that...
All they did was tie it to the bedpost.
Okay, but still, what were they going to do with it? And they did with it.
They were going to make it into their pets.
Oh, come on. Is that what you think, Yechiel?
No.
Oh, okay.
But the Egyptians didn't know.
But what did the Egyptians find out? Just
what are those crazy Hebrews doing with our lambs?
And what did they do with them?
Shechted
them. They shechted them.
Right.
But
that
when
itself,
did we shecht? When did we shecht?
On the 14th of Nisan.
The 14th. And when did we go out of, we went out when?
The 15th. So in order to, this was the clincher. And then there are other statements of Chazal. Not only did Bnei Yisrael take the Avodah Zarah and shecht it for the sake of God, but there are other things. It says Lo Shidu Eshmam. Do you remember that? That's why when people say my name is Steve and Larry and Harry, and it's, you know, I get a little nervous about that, because it seems like there are names that we should take, and we should maintain them,
right?
And Lo Shinu Esmal Busham, according to one day in Chazal, Lo Dibru Lashon Hara Zeh B'Zeh. What happened with Dosam and Imran? That was an exception to the rule. That was an aberration. That wasn't the norm of what Bnei Yisrael did. So Rabbeinu Bechai focuses on the fact that there was a process of tshuva. Maybe amongst the Jewish people there were those groups, like the Erev Rav, you know, groups that were still under the paganistic culture of the Egyptians, but the bulk of the Jewish people were ready to throw out Avodah Zarah and throw their lot with one God. They realized that Moshe Rabbeinu would come, he brought all the Nisim and the flows to the Eser Makis, and they were ready to do tshuva. But I want to ask the following question. Maybe you'll laugh at me. If Bnei Yisrael did tshuva at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and if Rabbeinu Bechai claims that tshuva is the prerequisite for the ultimate geula, then what should we be doing on the night
of Pesach?
We should be doing tshuva.
Sure.
Do we have any alchets or any viduis of tshuva on the Leil Pesach?
Well, it's a stretch a bit to say they're doing tshuva. Look,
where
I'm looking for an answer. They had to slaughter their lamb. They had to eat their matzah.
Right, but I'm asking where we do tshuva.
They had a lot to do then. We had a lot to do. We got to cook our...
The Psalm of the Bechoros. But that's only if you're a Bechor. But what do we do at the night of the Seder that would perhaps be a fulfillment of Rabbeinu Bechai's requirement of vidui?
Four cups of
Arami Oved Avi. What is Arami Oved Avi? Do you remember the Gemara says in Psachim, Maschil be Gnus u'Masayim b'Shvach. Maschil be Gnus, according to Rav, and Rav's sheet is reflected in our God, very much so, high profile, is that we have to mention that our forefathers were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Do you remember that? Mitchil Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu.
Right.
In other words, we are admitting guilt. Okay, it's not my guilt. I didn't worship an idol, but my forefathers did. And maybe that means that I have to do tshuva, even, like we say in the Al-Chait, Anachnu ve avoseinu chatanu. That's an integral part of vidui. Perhaps I could go even a step further and say that the avodah zarah of our forefathers, in various forms, and it doesn't always have to be worshiping an idol. It could be commitments that somehow conflict with our commitment to Almighty God. That we too, even in this very time and generation, are guilty to some extent of avodah zarah. Again, not in the bombastic sense of avodah zarah, not in the juridic sense, you know, where you could put someone to death through skila for avodah zarah, but we're at commitments. And tonight, the night of Pesach, is a night of making commitments to Hashem. Avodim ayinu, but now we're avodim to you.
Right.
And that's part of the process of tshuva. Halleluka alu avdei Hashem. That's how we have to begin. You have to go, Michael?
No, I'm just going.
Oh, okay.
I find this room is always very cold.
It's a little bit chilly here, yeah. Okay. But the truth is that according to Rabbeinu Bachai, when the Baal Haggadah quotes this pasuk of Vatal Shavasam, and he's indicating that they underwent the process of tefillah and tshuva in order to achieve geula, then that becomes part of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because what is Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim? Are we just telling stories? Are there no commentaries on the stories? No editorials?
Of course there are
tons of editorials. We are not just telling a story about avodim ayinu. We're going back to the roots. We want to understand what caused the avdus and what caused the geula, the cheiros, the redemption. And the answer is, says Rabbeinu Bachai, tefillah and tshuva. And therefore Rabbeinu Bachai says that this pasuk of Atal Shavasim El Elokim, the prayers of the Jewish people before they left Mitzrayim, is an integral part of the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. So when you look in the parasha in Ki Tavo, you only get like a fraction of a view. You don't get the whole picture. But when you look in the Haggadah, and the Haggadah uses this pasuk to swing us back to Vatal Shavasim Elohim, which is the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and according to Ben Bechai, it's an integral part, it's a critical part, a prerequisite for Yetzias Mitzrayim. Without the Tal Shavasim Elohim, there would be no Geula. Then this is an integral part of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now I found something here that I wanted to share with you on the pasuk Vatal Shavasim El Elokim. He says that in the Mishnah in Tainus, listen to this. This is fascinating. It says that on a fast day, in Goel Yisrael, which starts Re'ev on Yenu, Misha Ana Es Avram Avinu Bahara Moria
Huyanenu
Huyane Baruch Ato Hashem Goel Yisrael. Question for you: do we know that Avram Avinu prayed at the Akedah? Open up if you can to the Akedah and show me one indication that Avram Avinu prayed.
He was in the process of doing Hashem's will.
Will? But prayer? Again, the Nusach of the Mishnah is...
No, but I always took that...
Misha Ana Es Avram Avinu Bahara Moria. He responded to his prayers, Hu Yaneh L'Tfiloseinu, L'Tzakoseinu, L'Bakashoseinu.
He responded to it.
Vayashkem Avram Baboker was to do God's will, but it wasn't to pray.
I've got an... The way I would interpret that is that... That, as we said earlier on, Akash Baruch Hu looks into our hearts, and the bottom line is he knew that they were told not to shech, you know, not to kill anybody, and he's been commanded to kill his own son.
Okay,
therefore he prayed to God in his heart.
Excellent. Listen to this. The Medrash Rabbah says the following. Listen to this comment to the Medrash Rabbah. Who sholeach yad litol sasakin? He, meaning Avram Avinu, stretches his arm to pick up the knife. The Einav Moridim Moridos Dmos. And tears are coming down from his eyes, flowing from his eyes. V'noflos Dmos Li'Einav Shal Yitzchak. And the tears from the eyes of Avram fall into the eyes of Yitzchak. And listen to the next three words. Mirachmanuso shal Abba. Out of the compassion of a father. The afal pichem halev sameach lasos ritzon yotzro. An amazing contrast. Avraham Avinu is two things at once. This is what the philosophers call thesis and antithesis. This is the paradox of Avraham Avinu. On the one hand, Rachmanuso shal Abba, says the Medrash. He's a father who has compassion for his son. But at the same time, Lev Samech, Lasos Ritzon Yotzro. It's an amazing kind of statement. This is our forefather. This is the guy that we all have to take pride in. That he can do both at once. And as Michael said so well before, if he's Rachmanuso shal Abba, a tata is a tata, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes those demos and he makes out of it a tefillah. And therefore we can say on our fast day, Misha Anal Avraham Avinu Bahara Moria Hu Ya'aneinu. And basically what we're saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam is, we don't always have the capacity to pray, but you have to read our demos. You have to see into our hearts. Right. You have to understand our emotions, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you do.
Right.
And therefore make it into prayer. And this, I believe, is what we say in davening three times a day, Re'eino v'anyenu, see our affliction. And this is what we're going to emphasize on the Leil HaSeder. Vayar esanyenu. Correct? Let's go back to the Haggadah one more time. And the Haggadah says, and then it says, "Vatal shavasim elokim," and all this is connected to Vayara Sonyenu. Wow, that's amazing! And I have here in front of me a sefer called Hare Kedem, and I want to read you one line from the Hare Kedem. He says, in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, "Vakadosh Baruch Hu roeh bi'einav." I'm sorry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu roeh b'anyenu. Ra'as ha'inui. He sees the suffering, the affliction, the pain. In the case of Avraham Avinu, he sees the demos of Avraham Avinu. V'ana oso l'lo shum bakasha. And he responded to Avraham's prayers, so to speak, in inverted commas, but there was never actually a bakasha. And therefore we ask Hashem, Misha Onas Avraham Avinu Bahar Moriah Hu Ya'aneh Elchem. And now we know very well that when the pasuk says Vatal Shavasam Elokim, it wasn't a tzaaka in the classical sense, in the formal sense of tefillah. It was Mitoch Yisurei Havoda Lo Ispalo Hashem. It wasn't a formal tefillah. Umikol Makom HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kibel Es Tzaakasam. Vishavosam ki ilu hispalalu. That's what it means, Vatal El Elokim, Vatal Shavosam El Elokim. And the very next pasuk is Vayeda Elokim, is it not? Can you check me out on that? Does it say Vayeda Elokim? Yeah, there it is, look. Vayar Elokim is Bnei Yisrael, Vayed Elokim. You won't find it there, but here it is in Haggadah.
Yeah, right.
Vayed Elokim. Rashi says on the Pasuk, Vayed Elokim, this is in Shmos Beis, Pasuk Chafei, Nosan Aleim Lev V'lo Helim Einov. He paid attention to them, and he did not turn aside from them. And the Ramban adds, Ki mitchila haya master pon of mehem. V'ata shama elokim nakosam v'roosam kloma lo hister pon of mehem. V'yada machovam. God became very aware and identified with their suffering. V'chol anas lehem, v'chol atzorach lehem. And God understood all their needs. He removed his Hester Ponim. And we never understand why Hester Ponim. We never understand why Hester Ponim has to last so long. And the Jewish people have to suffer for such a long time. Okay, my friends, now we have the other pages to do. We'll leave the Haggadah for the time being on the side, and I thank you very much for
listening to me.
But you have the pages here?
Yeah.
We spoke about Tfilas Nedava, correct? What is the Tfilas Nedava? Do you remember?
Voluntary makeup prayer.
Correct, but it doesn't have to be a makeup prayer. It could be that you've already davened three times, and the Rambam says, take a look.
You forgot. You're not.
Well, no, that's the next Rambam. But take a look at the first Rambam on the page, if you. You're already up. You're a step ahead of me.
I don't know which Rambam it is.
The top one. For the top one, Tfilos Elu, the three Tfilos, Ein Poksimehem, you don't reduce them, and there's nothing less than three, Aval Mosif and Aleh, but you're allowed to add a fourth tefillah, im rata adam lispal kol yom kula harushus biyado. The Rambam says in Perek Aleph, halacha test that he can daven the whole day. V'chol sana tefillos she Yosef, and how do we define those additional tefillos? Come on, makriv nedavos. Correct. So just like in karbonos, there's a concept called nedava. So to tefillos, there's a tefillas nedava. Lefichach says the Rambam, tzarich. Sheyechadesh davar, he has to add something to the standard text of the tefillah, so it won't be a repetition of what he did before. It won't be identical to a tefillah schova. Bechol bracha ubracha min emtsoyos, in each one of the 13 middle brachos, the tefillos, the bakoshes, the petitions, meena brachos. However, the Rambam says, v'yemchidesh afilu bebracha achas, dayo. The Rambam says it's enough. He's not happy with it. He'd like you to add to every single bracha, but at least to one of them, kedei lahudia, to demonstrate shehi nedava, that it's a tefillas nedava v'lo chova. So the Rambam sees here a fundamental distinction between tefillas chova and tefillas nedava. How do you create a tefillas nedava? What allows you to make that transition from a tefillas chova to a tefillas nedava? What's the vehicle?
Adding in something.
Exactly. Chidush Badavar, adding in something. Correct? Now, in Halacha, in Perek Yud, Halacha Vav, the Rambam says, Mishan Estapek Lo, if he has a doubt, this is what Yechiel was referring to before. Im Ispalel, Im Lo Ispalel. I don't remember whether I davened or not. Eino Choser, Mispalel, you shouldn't daven again. Elim Kain, Mispalel Tfilah Zu Al Dashi Nedava. So what option does the Rambam allow you to avail yourself of?
Nedava.
Tfilas Nedava, in this case. Now, the Rambam has just set the standards and the conditions for Tfilas Nedava. What makes the Tfil into a Tfilas Nedava? Chidush Badavar, correct? So the premise that the Lechem Mishnah operates with, if you take a look where I wrote the Lechem Mishnah, he says, Lo Hizkir Bidvarov, he didn't mention in his words here, din ze, disofek ispal sofek lo ispargo sagi belo chidush. Now, the Lech Mishnah presents the shita of Rabbeinu Yonah, who says that in this case of sofek ispal sofek lo ispal, you could daven an extra shmonesre without adding anything. You don't need chidush padavar. But the Lech Mishnah says the Rambam left that out. What did the Rambam tell us about tefilas nedava? That it requires chidush. When he gets to Perek Yud and he addresses the situation, the scenario of someone who has doubts as to whether he davened or not, and he recommends that he davens a Tfilas Nedava, the Rambam didn't change his tune as far as Tfilas Nedava. So the Lech Mishnah says that Stimas Lashon Rambam, you know, if the Rambam doesn't qualify, if the Rambam didn't set this case up as an exception to the rule, then apparently the Rambam is applying the universal rule that in order to create a Tfilas Nedava, you need Chidush Badavar? Yes, you need Chidush Badavar. Ah, it's a Sufik Ispal, Sufik Lo Ispalil? The answer is, okay, so Davin it feels Nedava. But it feels Nedava requires Chidush Badavar. Without Chidush Badavar, it's not a Tfilas Nedava. So the question is, what's the machlokes between the Rambam, the way we're seeing it, and Rabbeinu Yonah. Because Rabbeinu Yonah says, and he quotes one of his Rebbeim, he says, I'll read to you Rabbeinu Yonah, Dafka kshiyodea vaday shispal v'chozum ispal tfils t'davah. When does he require to be mechadish b'davar? When he knows that he davened, and now he's davening a tefillah s'davar. Well, b'safik ispal, safik lo ispal, kishachozer umispalil ala safik, ain't tzarech chidush. The kaman shetzarech lachzor ulispal ala safik, ain't lecha chidush godol mizeh. That's the language of Rabbeinu Yonah. So what's the machlokas now between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah? Again, let's just summarize. There's a machlokas Rishonim in the case of Sofik Ispal, Sofik Lo Ispal. You're going to avail yourself of the possibility of a Tfilas Nedavah. Do you have to add Chidush Badavar? Because that's the universal rule that applies to Tfilas Nedavah. The Rambam seems to assume, because he doesn't say otherwise, that you need to be Mechadish Badavar, even in the case of Sofik Ispal, Sofik Lo Ispal. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Yonah quotes his Rebbeim as saying that in the case of Sofik Ispal, Sofik Lo Ispal, you don't need to be Mechadish Badavar. So the Rav Zichrono Livracha raised what we call a Chakira here. I would call it a Brisker Chakira. He wants to know what's the nature of this requirement of Chidush Badav. What's it all about? And you know, in every Chakira you offer two possibilities, and then you try to analyze those two possibilities. So one possibility, the Rav said, is that you need Chidush Badavar in order to change the Chefza Shal Tefillah, meaning the entity of Tefillah, into a Tefillah Nedavah. It can't be common Tefillah Nedavah if it's identical to a Tefillah Chovah. If you're repeating the same identical words that you just repeated in your last Shmona Esrei, whichever one it was, then it's not a Tefillah Nedavah, it's a Tefillah Chovah. So one way of understanding the requirement of Chidush Badavar is to say it's halacha, it's a requirement in the Chefta Shel Tefillah. You have to change the Chefta Shel Tefillah in order to give it a new personality, a new identity, and call it a Tefillah Nedavah. Or no. The second possibility is that as far as the Tefillah is concerned, Tefillah Nedavah, there's no problem with having a Tefillah Nedavah that's identical to Tefillah Chovah. It has all the words, and you don't have to be Mechadish Badavar. But there's a different problem. The difference between a tefillah nedavah and a tefillah chovah is not in the chefetz shel tefillah, it's in the chovah's gavra. Am I obligated in this prayer or am I not obligated in this prayer? When I'm obligated in this prayer, I can daven this prayer. I have a license to daven this prayer. Do you remember, Byron, we spoke once about the matir of tefillah? Do you remember that? It does ring a bell? That tefillah needs a matir. You can't just go in uninvited, unsummoned in front of the King of Kings. So what's the matir? The mitzvah of tefillah, you're obligated to daven. That's okay in the case of a tefillah's chovah, but it's not going to work for a tefillah's nedavah. So who gives you the audacity to go in there and put forward your prayer? You need a matir. What's the matir? Chidush Badavar. Chidush Badavar means that I've added something to the tefillah. I'm expressing what my needs are at this moment. In order to do so, I'm allowed to daven. The nafkemina between where the Chidush Badavar is a condition in the Chefza Shel Tefillah to change it and convert it into a Tefillah Nedavah, or it's a condition in the Gavra HaMispalel in order to create that heter for the Gavra to be Mispalel Tefillah without a Chovah, the nafkemina is going to be the case of Sofik Ispalel, Sofik Lo Ispalel. Because in the case of Sofik, I want to create a Tefillah Nedavah. How do you create a Tefillah Nedavah in Chefza, if the Chefza of the Tefillah has to change, if the very body, the very essence, the very entity of the Tefillah has to be changed, then what am I going to need in order to change it? Chidush Badavar. But if on the other hand, the Tefillah Nedavah could be identical in the Chefza to a Tefillah Chovah, they don't have to be different, then the requirement of Chidush Badavar is in the Gavra, in the Matir, as we said before. In the case of Sofik Ispal, Sofik Lo Ispalil, there that feels the daven doesn't need a matir. Because what presses me to daven in this case? the halach of safek. In a case where I know that I daven the tefillah schov, I need chishpa dover to allow me the audacity, so to speak, to put forward this tefillah. But in a case where I have a suffix or this power or not, and I want to put forth the tefillah schov to save myself and to protect myself from the suffix, then I don't need chishpa dover. So the Rambam then is saying that the tefillah nedava has to be a different heftzah shel tefillah, and therefore the Rambam would require chidush badavar in any case of a tefillah nedava, without any exception. It's an absolute rule. And if this be the case, then we could understand a different Rambam. The Rambam says that if in the middle of Shmon Esrei, take a look on the second page. Well, you can see it even on the first page. Just 1 second. The second paragraph on the first page. Do you see that? He says, "Misha haya omed bitfila v'nizkar shekvar hispalel." If somebody was standing and davening and he finds out, he reminds himself that he already davened, what should he do? Posek afilu b'emsa bracha. Why? Why can't he convert the tefillah into a tefillas nedava? The answer is because tefillas nedava and tefillas chova are two separate heftzes shel tefillah, and therefore they cannot be integrated. You started with a tefillas chova. Now you want to change it into a tefillas nedava. Those are two separate entities that cannot be integrated into one whole. And therefore the Rambam says, posek afilu b'emtza habracha. So we have now two halachos, both of which reflect the Rambam's understanding of what a tefillah nedava is. Number one, you need chidush badavar, says the Rambam, always, as an ironclad rule, even in the case of safek. And number two, the Rambam says that if you remind yourself midway through Shmon Esrei that you already daven, then you're not allowed to complete your davening as a tefillah nedava. And both of these halachas, chidush badavar is an absolute rule without exception. And the halacha that you posek afilu b'emtza bracha in the case of nizkar shekvar hispalel, both of these reflect the fact that tefillah nedava has to be changed in its very essence, in the very entity of tefillah, in order to create what we call a tefillah nedava. So the Rambam therefore says, even in the case of safek hispalel, you're going to have to be mechadish badavar, my friend. Mm-hmm. And if you were posek, and if you were nizkar shekvar hispalel, in the middle of Shmon Esrei, you reminded yourself, then posek, afilu b'emtza bracha. Because that's the shitas of Rambam, that these are two different entities of tefillah. And now I have a third question to ask you. And with this we'll complete the shiur. Can a tefillas nedava exempt you from your chiyuv of tefillas chova? In other words, let's say I have a chiyuv to daven, and I stand up and daven what I think is a tefillas nedava. Will that tefillas nedava work as a fulfillment of my tefillas chova? And what would you say according to the Rambam? Since tefillas nedava is a different hefta, could it work? Absolutely not. Bishleim, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, who says that basically tefillas nedava is identical in its hefta to tefillas chova, then a tefillas nedava could patter you up from a tefillas chova. But if you would maintain, like the Rambam does, that a tefillas nedava is essentially in its very chefza different, fundamentally different than a tefillas chova, then a tefillas nedava can't be ole as a kiyum of tefillas chova. So what you're going to have to do is, I guess, according to the Rambam, in the case of safek hispalel, safek lo hispalel, and the Rambam recommends that you offer a tefillas nedava, you're going to have to make a tnai. You're going to have to say, this is a tefillas nedava if I've already davened. If I haven't davened, let it be a tefillas chova. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Again, exactly how tnai is effective here, I'm not sure. But the way we're saying it, the only way of understanding the Rambam Shita would be in the context of tnai.
Right.
Okay, we'll stop here.